Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. Right now, you're going to hear from our pastor, Dennis Vardy. This month's series is called Do the Math, and it speaks about what God is wanting to add to your life and what he wants to subtract, and if division can be a lifesaver for you. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we've been on a series called Do the Math, and today we're going to talk to you about the subject of division. Now, when you say division in church, a lot of times what comes to mind from the scriptures are maybe a little bit more of a negative connotation. You know, we are familiar with verses like, you know, where it says, a house divided against itself won't stand. And that's true. If you take a home where there's division, you take a business where there's division, you take a church where there's division, it won't stand. It won't do what it's supposed to do. The scriptures that say things like, let there be no division among you. In other words, you know, we're not to isolate and camp on one item, one aspect of our faith and decide that you're either for me or against me all because of this and we create division. We're not, or to have a different vision than the church has. Another way we create division. So let there be no division among you. God wants unity, same mind, same heart, same purpose. We're not to have divided interests, the scripture talks about, where our interest is kind of going in two directions. This is what God wants me to do with my life, but I've got this other interest, and it competes for my time, it competes for my attention, it competes for my devotion. No, we're not to have divided interests. Scripture talks about not being double-minded, which literally means to have a divided mind, where we're waffling back and forth on decisions, but we're to be focused, we're to be clear, we're to be decisive with our lives. And so there's much that Scripture has to say about some of the negative side of division. But what I'm going to talk to you about today is completely different from that. Now, when we think about division, I'm going to give you a definition. And the reason I'm going to give you a definition is so that every time I say that word, what happens in your head isn't going to be seeing a line with two dots. You know what I'm saying? It's like every time he says division, all I see is a line and two dots. So I want to give you a definition that will help you understand where we're going. And that is this. The definition of division is creating separation to make a way. It's that simple. Creating separation to make a way. Now let me illustrate that with things that we do in life. For instance, we sit down for dinner, and afterwards for dessert, we're having pie, apple, thank you, with a side of ice cream. What do? We divide the pie up. Why? To make a way for everybody to have a piece and dad to have seconds. Just a thought. But that's what division is. We divide to make a way. Out in our parking lot, we have all these parking lot divisions into stalls so that we make the best way to park as many cars in an orderly fashion as possible in the parking lot, dividing to make a way. We take land and we divide it up. And what do we call it? We call it a subdivision. What we've done is we've created these lots and made a way for individuals to have their own defined space for their own home in a subdivision. We create things like family budgets or business budgets in order to make a way to cover all the bills, all the expenses that are associated with that. And so if you think in terms of that, I am creating separation in order to make a way. Well, now we're going to have a look at our lives. What does the Word of God have to say about division in our lives? And I'm not going to look on a sort of obvious level where it's like, well, we divide our time, you know, we have our schedule, we divide our finances, we divide those things. No, I want to look at other things that we could in life have a tendency to overlook, a tendency to go past and to not apply correctly, but are so important to our lives. Five different applications of division for your life. Here we go. Number one. I need to divide between what is right and wrong to make wise choices. I need to divide between what is right and what is wrong in order to make wise choices. Now, right and wrong have to be separated if we're going to be able to figure out what is the truth and what is the godliest way to act. What is the wisest choice that I should make? Isaiah 5:20 talks about this and it warns us to not miss out on making this division. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Looks like we dropped an F there. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. There's more than one thing being said here, but one thing is clearly being said is that God is giving a caution to people who do not divide between right and wrong, who instead confuse it, who instead muddle it all up and say, well, it doesn't really matter, and just allow it to go into this kind of confusion of what is good and what is evil. But we see that happening throughout society today. We watch it all the time. Things that used to be very clear are now considered okay, and it all gets muddled up. And a lot of it has happened in our society, in Canadian society particularly, because of the pushback towards the Word of God, the pushback against the Bible to say, no, we're just gonna figure this out. Whereas at one time, we embraced God's Word, and whether you were a Christian or not, we understood the Bible is the Word of God. In fact, we still swear on it in courts. Why? Because we understand it to be truth. And so we take the Word of God and we go, this defines right and wrong. This clarifies for this. Now, what happens is when we push back on Scripture, here's what we go to. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. We go to a mentality that says, I'm going to create my own rules. I'm going to create my own morality. I am a law unto myself. And basically, that's just pride. Now, Deuteronomy 12:8 says this. Excuse me. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. Now, excuse me. How does this happen today? How does this happen in our culture that we throw aside the division of right and wrong and we mess that all up? Speaking of mess that all up, excuse me. You got to understand, on this stage is a completely different climate than what you're living in right now. It is hot and it is dry. It's like a desert up here. Excuse me. There we go. Okay. How do we mess this all up? How do we do what's right in our own eyes? A lot of times what we do to divide right and wrong is this. We simply look at the consequences. And I'm not just talking about, oh, those people that don't go to church, those people there. No, I'm talking, this happens in God's house. That people will, instead of putting their attention to Scripture, will put their attention to consequences and say things in their mind like, I don't think anyone is getting hurt. You know, I don't think this is all that harmful to me. Nobody's going to find out. This is just my secret, so it must be okay. After all, isn't right and wrong all relative? Yes, it is. It is all relative. It's all relative to the Word of God. That's what it's relative to. Right and wrong is relative to God's Word. Now, here's what Psalms 119 tells us in verse 32. David said this. He said, I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. I want to focus on that first part. He says, I'm going to run the way of your commandments. Here's what David's saying. Your commandments have made it clear to me. Your commandments have clarified. This is right. This is wrong. I can run with my life. I don't have to hesitate. I'm not confused. You know, I'm not going around with a conscience that bothers me. And these are the things that happen when we embrace the Word of God and allow it to divide for us right from wrong. It eliminates confusion. We have a clear mind about our lives. We don't carry a conscience that bothers us. We have a clear conscience and we're sure of our motives. Why? Because we let God's Word divide for us what is right and what is wrong. Number two, I need to study God's Word in order to rightly divide God's Word. In order to rightly divide God's Word. What do you mean by rightly divide? Well, this comes from the scripture in 2 Timothy 2:15, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And here's what it says. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What is that about? Well, it's all about application. We rightly divide in order to make the proper application of God's word to our life. Now, the scripture tells us that the sum of God's word brings truth. So in other words, we don't just look at one scripture and then say, well, the Bible says this about that, so this must mean, and then figure everything out. We look at everything the scripture has to say about any particular subject. And in that way, we get the whole counsel of God. Now we can rightly divide. Now we can go, this is what it's saying, this is what it's not saying. And we break it down, we divide it, we break it down for the purpose of application. And that's what it means to rightly divide. And when we make the right application, we get a clear understanding. And here's what it does. It keeps us from going into one of two ditches. And here are the two ditches that people tend to get into. The first one is legalism. Legalism. You know, I've watched people get into this ditch. They're not rightly dividing the Word of God. They're just like opening up their Bible, and what they read when they open their Bible up are rules. Are rules. And then they look at people's lives and they go, oh, you don't match the rules. You need to change. Here's what's wrong with you. Let me, and they try to apply the scripture, but it comes off more like a club than what should be something that empowers them to change. Why? Because in their mind, they just see the law. They just see rules. They're reading the scripture outside of relationship to God, and that's where they end up with. Now, here's another ditch that we can go to, and that is the ditch of lawlessness. And that is the one where we exaggerate and misunderstand grace and decide, look, man, God is so forgiving and he's so accepting and he's so loving that it doesn't matter what you do. Well, that's not true. That's lawlessness. If we decide it just doesn't matter what we do, then we're throwing everything out. And so we don't want to be in the ditch of legalism. We don't want to be in the ditch of lawlessness. Well, where do we want to end up with? We want to end up with Jesus, who says that this, and this is what the scripture says about Jesus. In Christ, there was both grace and truth. That both of those things operated together, both grace and truth. You see, I need to know the truth. What is right and what is wrong? What is wise and what is not wise? I need to know the truth. But here's the other thing. I need the grace of God on how to apply this truth. I need to understand God's grace so that I'm living God's truth out of relationship, not out of just the cold facts or rules that are there. I want to find grace and truth. I want to rightly divide the scriptures. Number three, I need to let God's word divide soul and spirit so that I can have right motives. I need to let God's word divide soul and spirit so that I can have right motives. Well, Hebrews 4:12 talks about that. And here's what it says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Moving right along. There we go. Soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart, intentions of the heart. So the word of God divides soul and spirit. What's the end result? The end result is it can judge my thoughts and it can judge my intentions. In other words, it can help expose in me my motives. What's motivating me? What's making me act the way that I'm acting? What's making me do what I'm doing? I need God's word to speak into my life to judge my thoughts and judge my intentions, to reveal my motives. Am I just being motivated out of my soul? Is this just me being me and I just want to do this because I just want to do this? And not that that's always bad, but there could be ego involved or some things like that. Am I being motivated out of my spirit? You know, has God begun to put something in my spirit that is really from him? This is not about me. This is about what he's putting in my heart to do. And I need to recognize, I need to discern, I need to figure out, man, is this a God thing that he's putting in my heart that I can't get away from it. I need to do this. We can do a godly thing, but it can also be done with an ungodly motivation. Can't it? This is why this is so important. So I need to divide between my soul and my spirit so that I'm not just doing godly things, but they're actually motivated more so out of my need for attention and acceptance and somebody tell me I'm a good person or whatever it may be, instead of out of a place of being healthy. And so here's the other reason why we need to divide soul and spirit, and that is this. If I don't examine my soul, if we don't examine your soul, you can be making choices out of a soul that is contaminated by many different things. It could be contaminated by offense. It could be contaminated by fear or bitterness or discouragement or some hurt that's happened in your life. And so out of that soul that's gone through things, now you're making decisions. You say, man, I really feel like this is what I should do with my finances perhaps. And the truth of the matter is you're just afraid. You've got fear inside of your heart. You've not allowed yourself to divide spirit and soul, to examine your soul and to say, what is really motivating this decision? And maybe the truth is, it's just a decision being made out of fear. Well, this is what I should do in terms of my involvement, you know, with people, my involvement in the church. And maybe the truth of the matter is you're just afraid of rejection. Come on. And so you're not positioning yourself to get close to people. You keep at a distance all the time. The truth of the matter is your soul is leading you out of a past wound that you've never overcome, you've never dealt with. And now you keep people at a distance all the time. Why? Because you're afraid of re-experiencing that hurt, that wound, that thing that bothered you. And so your soul can pick up so many contaminants along the road of life through circumstances and hurtful things that happen. We've got to allow the word of God to separate soul and spirit so that we don't claim everything to be spirit that's actually coming out of our soul. Oh man, I've seen that too often. Oh, I really feel God wants me. You ever had somebody tell you about what they feel God wants them to do? And the moment they say it inside of your head going, man, that's really dumb. I can't believe you really want to waste your time on that. Why? Because you're not connected. You're not a part of them. You're on the outside, able to see more clearly. What's happened to them is they haven't divided soul and spirit. And so it's coming out of some soulish ambition, some crazy idea. But we love to, you know, say, well, this Holy Spirit put this in my heart. We love to credit God. And then when it all blows up, well, we got some explaining to do, I think. But at any rate, so we don't want to have that driven, you know, position of this is in my heart. I didn't know it. God wants to bring his word into our life to speak to where our heart is at, to help reveal it, to help do exactly what Hebrews says, able to judge the thoughts and intentions. The intentions, it's almost like the leanings, if you will, of your heart. Why is it leaning in that way? Well, maybe there's some things that have gone on in your past. Number four, I need to divide from relationships that are not building my future. This is one of those rubber meets the road kind of moments. Keeping in mind that division is about separation in order to make a way, there can be relationships in your life that you need to exercise division on. Now, just to clarify this, not your spouse and children, okay? If you're like, thank God that kids drive me crazy. He is out when I get home. The kid's only 4 years old. Chill, you know? You'll get over it. It's all good. It's all good. But the truth of the matter is that you can allow people into a place and level of influence into your life that is not healthy. That is not healthy. And they can be people that just don't have your best interest in mind. They don't really care about godliness at all. They don't make wise choices with their life. They're pulling almost like in an opposite direction to you, and you're just always in that position of being tugged and all the rest of it. And I'm not talking, by the way, about persecution at work, you know, where there's somebody that, you know, thinks that Christianity is a joke and church is a laugh and they're making fun of you. Who cares about that? No big deal. I'm talking about these people you have allowed to get close enough to you. They have a place of influence in your life, and it's not healthy. It's not good. It's not just people, by the way, who are ungodly or rebellious or, you know, people with horrible morals or something like that. The scripture warns us about a certain kind of a person, and God so graciously labels them in such a direct manner. Here's what he calls them, fools. Fools. So, yeah, it's in the word. Yeah, it's all over the Bible. It talks about these people. They just says, they're foolish. They're foolish. Proverbs 13:20 says this, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Will suffer harm. So in other words, here's what the scripture is also saying. Don't have an attitude that it doesn't matter who gets into your inner circle, who gets close to you, who has influenced you. Don't think, oh, that doesn't really matter. It's all good. I'm this independent decision maker. No, the scripture warns you that you can have the wrong companions that you're keeping in your circle, keeping close to you, having influence into your life, and you suffer harm because why? Because you didn't divide. You didn't divide. So I have to divide. I have to create separation from this kind of a person in order to live a wise life. Now, when I say the word fool, when the Bible says the word fool or a foolish person, it's not meaning goofy, okay? It's not talking about somebody who's always got a joke, you know, and a practical joker or something like that. That's not what he's talking about. The scriptures are pretty accurate about describing what it means for somebody to be foolish. And so they say things like this. It's somebody who refuses to receive counsel in their life. Yeah. Nobody can talk to them. It's someone who despises authority. Oh, I know that's what they want me to do, but this is what I want to do. It's someone who's all about having their own way all the time. Yeah, everybody's doing this, but you know, this is how I want to go. It's someone who likes to make their opinion known, but they never listen. Now, there's piles of descriptions like this, and I'll leave this with you as kind of homework, if you will, that you can go to the Bible, preferably on a computer, you know, Bible Gateway or something like that, do a search in the wisdom books, Job, Proverbs, Psalms, and just put in the word fool and read what comes back to you. And there's all kinds of descriptions just like this that describe to you what it means to have a foolish person in your world and how they are. So Proverbs will give you this extensive list that'll help you understand these things. You know, as Christians, what happens though is the reason we don't do this, the reason we don't divide is because we somehow feel like, well, I have Jesus in my life and I'm supposed to love everybody. Well, you can love everybody without giving them a place of influence in your life that they should not have. And so just understand that just because you're to love everybody doesn't mean they're all on the same scale with you. Think of Jesus. Jesus had the crowd. Jesus had the 12. Jesus also had the 3. So he had different levels of relationship and closeness with people, proximity, time with people, all of those things. Now, I've had people who are around me who would fit into this category, and I've had to deal with them in different ways because of the dynamic of the relationship. So for instance, you know, if it's a coworker or maybe a relative, it's not like you can show up to work and fire the guy. He's going to be there. You know, your relative, they're in your family. They're related to you. That's the way it is. But it also doesn't mean that they should be given full permission to share their thoughts on every subject about your life. And I've literally had relationships where it's like, I can't sort of terminate this relationship. I can't end it. And it would be wrong actually if I did. But here's what I've had a conversation that went something like this. When it comes to this area of my life, we're not having that conversation. It's over. We're not talking about that. We're done with that conversation. We'll talk about anything else, but we're not going here. We clearly disagree, and we're not going to continue to argue about this. And so division was to me about applying some boundaries and saying, this is what's okay, this is not what is okay. But you know, there are times in our life where we just simply need to look at, why am I still allowing this person in my world? If you've got someone in your life and they're constantly speaking against your vision, divide. If you've got someone in your life and they're constantly speaking against your standards, divide. If you've got someone in your life and why would you allow them? Somebody to be in your life who constantly speaks against your marriage, or somebody who's in your life and they constantly speak against your church, why would you allow them to continue to be there? Number 5. I need to understand what God has divided to me in order to maximize my potential in life. I need to understand what God has divided to me. This is kind of a very unique side of division, but I think it's one that can be a real frustration that happens in people's lives, and I want to tackle that for this reason. This is the last area we're going to talk about here today. We all live in the context of division. That's the way the world works. And what we tell our children when they're young, we say things to them like, you know what? You can be anything you want to be. And it's great. We paint a very big horizon for them. We sort of encourage them, try all sorts of stuff, and we send them off to school where they get involved in everything from, you know, science and mathematics to sports and music and all of these things. But we all know what happens, that as that child progresses and tries all of these different things, that horizon begins to narrow, and they begin to figure out what it is that they really like to do, what it is that they're really good at doing, and what it is that they really enjoy doing. And they begin to figure that out. Well, the truth of the matter is this. You can't be anything you want to be. You can only be the best version of who God made you to be. And life is about discovering what got divided when you were created. In other words, what did God put in your package? Creation works in the realm of division. God doesn't just take it all and give it all to the same degree to everybody, does he? Some of you in here are great creative people. You're wonderful with color. Others of you are colorblind, or you should maybe start using that as your excuse. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're not all the same. Some of you just have a mathematical mind and you're good with numbers and you figure it out. Others of you are still praising God for the invention of the calculator. Even that $100 one that could only add, subtract, multiply, and divide. You still own it and you still love it. You're just, this is awesome. It's saving my world. God didn't divide everything the same to everybody. And so the wonder of life is that we figured out, what did he put in me? What did he put in me? There are boundaries, there are limitations, there are parameters to your life and mine. Each of us got a portion divided to us, and it's about discovering your portion. And so we can't be arbitrary about that. We can't wake up, I can't wake up tomorrow and just decide, you know, I really, really feel like God's speaking to me about professional athletic involvement, you know, that I'm called. I can't quite figure it out, either a wrestler or pro football. I'm working those things through, but I can't just do that. I can't just wake up and decide, no, this is what I'm going to be. I have to discover, what did he put in me? Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. And in that parable, each of the servants was given a talent. 1, 2, and 5 respectively. But here's what the scripture says, that they were given that talent, each according to their ability. It's a picture of how God works with us. And it's recognizing, you know, we don't all have the same ability. We're going to give you according to your ability. Romans 12:6 says this, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if you want to circle something in your notes, grace given to each of us, that's that individual part of it. You have a grace. I have a grace. Everybody here has a grace, and your gift works with your grace. That is, you have an ability to do something that just sort of flows out of your life. It seems to almost come easy, if you will. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be developed or studied or grown. But it's there in the first place to develop, to grow, to turn into something wonderful. And so we're not all the same. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all have, you know, the same thing given to us by God. But the wonder of it is figuring out what it is. That's why it's important that we view things like school as discovery, not just instruction. You see, if all you do is view school as instruction, then you get frustrated that your kids have, you know, low grades in one area and high in another. And then what you do is you go, well, you're not receiving the instruction here. You need to focus on this. Well, maybe the truth of the matter is that they're actually high in certain areas because it says something about who they are. And maybe we don't need to really worry. Maybe you can actually do life and hate history. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I hate history. I don't remember names. I barely know the name of my children. I mean, you're just like that. But man, there's other things that I love to do and that I excel at. Well, that's the discovery side of what our kids are going through. Romans 12:3 says this, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Don't think you're better than you really are. And we've all done this in some ways. You know how this works. You know, you're at home, the washing machine breaks down, and you're like, don't worry, honey, I got this. I got tools given to me last Christmas, and we're going to make this thing go. Man, by the next morning, you're on the computer looking up washing machines at the brick and making an order. Why? Because you evaluated incorrectly. You know, you thought you were better than you really were. But the point is, it's recognizing something. We're not everything, but we are something. And we need to figure out what that something is that we are. Now, there are things that God says about us that are equal, that we all have, we all get the same. Forgiveness and acceptance is equal because of Jesus. Absolutely equal. Doesn't matter what your past is or who you are, what you've been through, God is willing to forgive and accept you into his forever family. That's the way it is. Our value before God, you are valuable before God, whether you are walking with God right now or not. You are valuable before him. He loves you, whether you're serving God or whether you're going to go out this afternoon and get high. God loves you. Doesn't matter. You are important to him. He wants relationship with each of you. He's not just sort of, I'll have a relationship with you. You know, he wants relationship with everybody. These are universal, equal, fair, given to everybody things. Our righteousness before him, when we're forgiven, we're in right standing with God. It's all the same. But there are uniquenesses about our life that we have to recognize. We each have a unique personality. We have unique giftings and graces and talents and abilities. And some of you are morning people and some of you are evening people and some of you are still trying to figure out what it is you are. And some of you are more academic. Some are more craft, skilled with hands. There's so much difference and variation. Why? Because when God divided, he didn't divide equally. He made a mix of who you are and he put that out there. And the wonder of it all is you figuring out what it is that is you. As a matter of fact, we have a language that we use about this. We say this, we are wired that way. You ever heard that expression? Well, I'm not wired that way. And it speaks to the fact that we're all unique in our abilities. We have unique limitations. You may never be able to sing like Justin Bieber or Mariah Carey, unless it's in you. You may never be a Wayne Gretzky unless it's in you to develop. You may never become a great painter or an artist unless it's already kind of in you to grow. You may never have the mind and skill of a heart surgeon. I know I don't. The sight of blood, I'd be on the floor. The guy would die. It'd be a horrible story in the news. But and so here's the deal. You can't be something that God didn't put into the package. But here's the good news. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You just need to be who God made you to be. So Psalm 16:6 says this, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. David's talking about his life and he's referring to his life with this terminology. He says these boundary lines. In other words, I know what I have. I know what I don't have. I know my limitations. I know, you know, what God's made me to be. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm enjoying who God made me to be. And the reason I'm making such an emphasis on that is because of this. We spend more time and energy noticing what God has divided to others than developing what he has put in us. So much time and energy, so much attention, so much thought gets wasted, you know, admiring everybody else around us and how well they're doing, how good they're doing, their abilities, their accomplishments, all the rest of it. Why don't we take all that energy and just focus on what has God made me to be and then take it and grow it? Hey, if the guy who got one talent, and he did, he spent all of his time, oh, I'm only a one talent, it's terrible, I'm a one talent. If he'd have just invested himself in his one talent, he'd have become the two talent guy that he was jealous about, that he was envious of. And so if we learn to put all of our attention there, I think there are lots of people who sit in the bleachers of their life and are watching and wishing about what they could be instead of playing their game, running in their lane, and developing their field. And God wants us to put our attention on who he's made us to be and become all of that. Would you stand so we can take time to pray as we begin to wrap up? I want to pray for a couple of things here, but before I do, I want to ask you a division question, and that is this: are you ready to divide in your life? Are you ready to make a division where you're able to say today, this is my past, and this is the new life that I'm living? This is what I used to be, but I've received Jesus, I've been forgiven, and now the old things have gone away and a new life has begun. The wonderful opportunity that you have right now is to have a conversation with God right where you're standing, where you receive Christ into your life, where you're able to say, this is my division Sunday, where I drew a line and separated in order to become all that God wants me to become, where I've left an old life centered around me, it's all about me, to a new life centered around Christ, where it's all about pursuing the purposes of God and knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Are you ready to divide? Are you ready to make that transition? If you are, the good news is that we're gonna pray in just a minute, and you can be a part of this prayer, and you can declare to God that, first of all, that you believe that Jesus died for you. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'll tell you why. I will never stand in front of God and have to tell him how good I've been so that he can accept me into heaven. Why? Because that's not the basis of acceptance. I'll just stand there and say how good Jesus has been, that he forgave me of everything I've ever done wrong. So that's the first part. Then the second part the Bible says is this, is to receive him into your life as the Lord of your life. And that's the part where it's like, I'm leaving doing life my way. I'm gonna follow God with all my heart. I'm gonna let him lead me, let him guide me, let him build my future. And if you're that person who says, I've never done that, but today's my day, good news is this, we're gonna pray right now and you can be a part of this. Let's bow our heads for that word of prayer. I just wanna ask real quickly, how many here would say, Pastor, you know what? You can count me in on being a part of that prayer. Can you just raise your hand real quick so I know who I'm praying with? That's awesome, all over this place. All over this place. That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, you know what? We're going to join with you. You can put your hands down. We're going to join with you in this prayer. And we're just going to be a part of it with you. Let's go ahead and pray right now. Lord Jesus, today I'm making a division. I'm leaving an old life, beginning a new life because of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my past. I declare you to be the Savior of the world and my Savior. I invite you into my life as the Lord of my life. I'm gonna follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. And now one more prayer. Father, for everyone who is here, I pray that they would figure out, they would discover the division that is them, what has been portioned to them. Lord, that we would all be able to say, as David said, that, you know, I know where the boundary lines are and they've fallen in pleasant places. God, may we enjoy who you've made us to be, and may we be good stewards, God, of what you have put into us. Not distracted by what we see in others, but noticing, God, what it is, the grace and the gift that's on us. And may we use it to further your kingdom, to be a blessing in the lives of people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our series, Do the Math. If you're wanting to know more about Celebration Church or you would like to partner with us financially, visit us online at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on our Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back next week to hear another great message.